Well, again, welcome to church. It is so good to have you in the room today. We also welcome those of you who can't be in the room with us but are joining on the live stream or recorded content in one way or another. It's good to have you with us. I meant to make mention, in the seat backs in front of you, you'll find this connect card. We would love to be able to connect with you further. Surely over the course of a time together this morning, you might have a prayer request that you would want some people to pray for. There might even be a specific way that you want to respond to what God's been doing in your life in this season or this morning. You can make mention of that in written form and drop it in our offering plate towards the end of our time together, or on the digital side just there. It is good to have you with us, and we are studying the Lord's Prayer. We had a reading of it just there on the screen. I'm about to read this for us just one more time. We're talking about prayer in this season as a church for many reasons. We're talking about prayer because we are asking God to do things in us and through us that we don't have the power or capacity to do on our own. So we're asking God, and we're inviting God to come into it, so to speak. We're talking about prayer as well because we were made for relationship with God. Our joy, our fullness, our rest, our life is only found when we live in a relationship with Him. So we're learning to talk to Him. We're learning to depend on Him. We're learning not to depend on ourselves, but to depend on God, and that has us in the Lord's Prayer. The scripture texts are Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13, or Luke chapter 11, verses 2 through 4. And I'll be honest with you, after we went through this last week, we had a time where it was read, we had a time where we even read it together, so to speak. I could just tell we've learned this a few different ways in the room, yeah? We have some King James only in here, you know what I mean? We have some ESV, we have some CSB, and if you don't know what those aren't drugs, those are Bible translations. And we've been working through this, and in the course of the last week, we put our heads together as a staff, and we actually came up with this version. I don't know, can we call this an authorized version, a bit of a Nashville first version of the prayer, trying to be sensitive to the different ways we've learned it and the different ways it's written here. So we'll have it, and we'll be able to have a look at it just now. I'm going to read this for us, and at the conclusion of our time, we'll pray this together. A bit of a Nashville first version, combining a few translations, paying attention to a few movements in the Greek, and here's one just for us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know, this is the Lord's Prayer. This is actually the only time we have in the text that Jesus' disciples, the people who followed Jesus around, they actually walked up to him and said, hey, can you teach us to do this? And they asked him if they could teach him to pray. I wonder what it would have been like to observe Jesus in prayer. You know, the scriptures tell us time and time again, he was constantly slipping off from the crowds and the crowded places to go and to pray and to be with his Father. This would be a rhythm that people who were around Jesus would have observed in his life, and they no doubt would have asked, we like what happens in you when you pray. Can you teach us to have that as well? And what we have recorded twice for us in Scripture, once in the 6th chapter of Matthew, the other in the 11th chapter of Luke, is this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, the prayer of Jesus. And as amazing as that is, anyone who's actually tried their hand at this, we could probably admit and confess together, sometimes prayer seems kind of strange, no? I mean, sometimes, have you ever had the feeling? I mean, however long you've been walking with Jesus, surely you've had the feeling that, you know, we kind of pray and we focus, and sometimes we pray with our eyes open, sometimes we pray with our eyes closed, and we say these things, and we just wonder, what is happening when we say these things? There's a strangeness to prayer. If prayer has ever felt strange to you, then you're in the right place. There's many people around you. We could embrace this with you. Prayer, it does feel strange. We pray something, and then we kind of go on and live our lives, and that thing happens. And I mean, even committed followers of Jesus, sometimes we have these moments. Our skepticism, our doubt, it comes up. It's where we wonder, I mean, would that have happened if I prayed for it or not? right? Was that a coincidence or was that an answer to prayer? These are the themes that we're exploring in this season. And perhaps of all the things that Jesus instructs us to pray for, I don't think anything sounds more strange than this petition right here. Hallowed be thy name. It's strange for many reasons, for the least of which being, I mean, what's the hallowed count in this room over the last week? You know what I mean? Right? How many children, like, walked in, like, saw mom getting ready in the morning? Oh, hello, mother. Hallowed be your appearance, you know? I mean, how many, I mean, kids, I mean, seriously, like, when dad was in the kitchen or out by the grill, I mean, did any kids, like, walk up to dad, you know? Dad, hallowed be these burgers today, you know what I mean? I mean, no one, like, watches the open and say, oh, hallowed be that golf shot, you know? It's a bit strange. There's a strangeness to this, no? We hear Jesus sitting here saying, oh, you want to learn to pray? Oh, well, pray this, hallowed be thy name. What's going on in this? Well, the fact of the matter is we actually do know something about this word hallowed. All Saints Day is November 1st, and then All Hallows Eve, known as Halloween, is on October 31st, and many of us partake or have partaken in that. Anything that is hallowed is to be praised. Anything that is hallowed is to be holy. So anything that is hallowed is praised, or it's made holy, or it's adored by people. So we actually know something about this. But this first petition, this first of the things that Jesus teaches us to pray for, this is somewhat opaque to our contemporary understanding. There are many reasons for this. One reason is that the word is seldom used today. We don't walk around splashing this around. I mean, not many guys have opened up a first date with the word hallowed. You know what I mean? I mean, we're not doing this. Another reason is that the idea of holiness, the idea of being set apart to be sanctified, the idea that there's even something wrong that needs to be made bright, new, and beautiful, even the idea of holiness, that's not an idea that you can find very easily in our secular society today. It's another reason why we hear this teaching, hallowed be thy name, and we say, that's just a bit foreign to me. The third reason is a bit of the logic. Even if we find our way to, no, I've heard of the word hallowed before, I do understand it has to do with the idea of a holying of a name. The third has to do with this issue of logic. This was the issue for Martin Luther when he was trying to understand this. He would ask the question, what are we praying for when we ask for his name to become holy? Is his name not already holy? So what are we even doing when we pray this prayer? I've asked a few questions. I want to organize this around just a few questions. The first thing I want us to consider together is, what does it mean to hallow? Then we'll get on to the next one. What does our hallowing reveal about our hearts? And thirdly, we'll rest with this one. How can we hallow God's name well? Can we do that? First one is this. What does it mean to hallow? It might sound obvious, but it's not. You might simply put in the word praise. In fact, as I was preparing to teach this to you, I even had the word praise in there. I was like, what does it mean to praise? And I was thinking, surely that'll help us, but there's a gravitational pull to continue coming home to this word, hallow. What does it mean to hallow something? Well, a very simple way of thinking of it would be to praise. And think about all the hallowing that you know how to do very well. Praise would be clapping at the end of something we enjoy, right? So a song is led, or we sing a song together, and we get to the end of that, and we enjoyed that. So we're going to put our hands together, and we're going to clap. What are we doing? We're hallowing, we're praising and appreciating what just happened in there, or might be more rightly, who that moment was for, right? You can praise and you can hallow all the time. Lots of praising and lots of hallowing happens all over this city once the sports get kicked off, right? I mean, there's some praising and some hallowing that happens down at Nissan Stadium, right? I mean, that is like a very, like, man, we're trying to make this work form of praising and adoring when we're down watching the Titans. No, it happens across the street at Bridgestone Arena. It happens at the soccer park. It happens at the concerts. We put our hands together. We praise, we adore, we hallow different things. So we actually know something about what Jesus is inviting us into. And we know something about Halloween or praising. But follow this. You can only praise, or you can only adore, or you can only hallow that which you know. So it'd be difficult to hallow someone you don't know. It'd be different to praise something you have not experienced, right? I know my wife, Elizabeth, right? So I don't have to think, I don't have to imagine very hard or for very long how to hallow, how to adore, how to praise my wife, Elizabeth, right? I know something about chips and salsa. Let me tell you something, right? And I don't have to think, I don't have to dream, I don't have to imagine. If you want to hear, well, you want to talk saltiness content on the chips, you want to talk the thickness of the chips, you want to talk the consistency of the salsa, preferring a bit of a cantina flavor myself. I mean, I don't have to think very much here because I know it well, right? You don't have to think very much when it comes to your sport. You don't have to think very much when it comes to your hobby. A tennis player doesn't have to think very long about how to describe an amazing, like, forehand winner, right? A golfer doesn't have to think very long to describe that feeling of an amazing golf shot. We know these things, and we can hallow these things. Here's why it might be difficult to hallow the name of God. Maybe, just maybe, we actually don't know God as well as we think we do. If we can go to God with the details, then it means we know him in detail. But if we can only go to God in the broad strokes of it all, it might mean we just know God in the broad strokes of it all. If we can actually do a better job of rehearsing and reciting the roster to our favorite sports team, but it's more difficult to go about rehearsing and reciting the different commandments and beatitudes and character names of God, maybe it reveals something about our Halloween. We're told to pray this, hallowed be thy name. So when we pray, we're not just praying like, you know, hallowed be my Lego set, and hallowed be my tennis game, and hallowed be my next meal at Chewy's. We're not hallowing those things, we're hallowing the name of God. So what does it mean to hallow? It means glorifying God. And that can even sound a bit strange to us. We could think of it like this, though. Glorifying God is not like using a microscope. A microscope is making small things look bigger. Hallowing the name of God is more like using a telescope. It's bringing into view things that are unimaginably large and making them where we can see them as such. This is what we're talking about when we say, hallowed be thy name. We're not taking God, who is this small, this little bit of an idea, and we're trying to expand him so we can see him. What we're saying when we say, hallowed be thy name, we are saying, God, you are unimaginably large. Would you help me to see you for who you actually are? So when you praise God, you can articulate his detailed and his detailed actions. When we're told to hallow something, we praise it, not just in the generalities, but in the particulars as well. When we pray, hallowed be thy name, we're praying, God, thank you for the specific ways you've worked in salvation past. God, thank you for the specific ways that you've been there for me and my family and my friends in our life. And then we delve even deeper and we consider, but what are the specific ways that I needed to be saved? And we're praising God and we're thanking God for the individual, particular events. Now, if that sounds like a bit of a foreign act to us, it might be that we don't have enough time for introspection. It might be that we're too busy praising other things. It might be that we're not praising God's love, but we're spending our days praising other things. It might be that we actually don't spend time praying to God, but we spend our days praying to other people and praying to other things. C.S. Lewis would say, we might have some of this. If you want to avoid God, then avoid silence. Avoid solitude. Avoid any train of thought that leads off the beaten track. Concentrate on money, sex, and status, and health, and above all, your own grievances. He says, keep the radio on. Live in a crowd. Use plenty of sedation. If you must read books, then select them very carefully. Now, our radio is known as an iPhone. There might be a few Androids in here. Like, it's known as AirPods. Our radios are called Netflix. Our radios are called screen time. There are loads of ways to busy ourselves and to be distracted. So when we're brought to this place where the Lord Jesus says, oh, when you pray, pray like this, hallowed be thy name, we know something of what it is to hallow, but we might not know enough about how to praise and how to adore the individual particularities of God's glory. And this leads into our next thought. What does this hallowing then reveal about our hearts? We can sense it already coming on us. We want to praise God. We want to know God. We want to know God's actions. We want to know God's character. But if we want to have that, we actually have to take time to be with God, to focus on God, to know God's word, to know God's heart, to know God's story, so we may be able to pray to God. So then, if hallowing is something of what happens at a concert, hallowing is something of what happens at one of the sports parks, hallowing is something of giving our attention, giving the weight, and giving the worth to another person, another thing, or another idea, be it a delicious meal or be it an amazing friendship, we do have to consider, what does this teaching, hallowed be thy name, reveal about the hallowing in our own hearts? Well, this is incredibly practical for you, friend. And I'm sensitive. I don't want you coming here to feel like, oh, well, that was great. We heard some music. We saw some people. I mean, the kids did an amazing job. But what does that have to do with me? It has everything to do with you, and it has everything to do with the life you're living and how you can live this next week. Let me draw out just three facets of this. Let me draw out the value, the order, and the joy that we can learn from this. First, think about the value. You always praise what you value, don't you? We're always praising. Means we're always valuing our hearts. We're always valuing people. We're always valuing relationships. We're always valuing experiences. In our hearts, we were made by God. We were made to worship God. We were made for God to be the big idea, for God to be the big thesis, for God to be the great center of our lives. And when God isn't, something else will be. But make no mistake, there's no neutral territory. So we're either giving the weight and worth of our lives to God, and we're either praying that the name, the reputation, the kingdom, and the power of God would come in this world, or we're praying our preferences in place. So think about the value of this. Are you valuing the right things the right way? When Jesus teaches us how to pray, and the first thing out of his mouth, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, are you hallowing the right things the right way? To praise is to hallow. It's about assigning the weight, the value, the worth, the glory to something. This means that praising God's name ought to be the center. All of us, myself included, we have to face the reality. What am I praising instead of God's name? What do I value more than this? The second great reality this brings us into is order. The idea of doing the right things in the right way and not getting things out of order. There's only one place in the entire Bible where the disciples of Jesus ask to learn something, right? I'm glad they asked this one question, but everything else Jesus was knowing and Jesus was bringing to them, that means there was something on prayer for Jesus that had to be so interesting, it had to be so dynamic, that when the followers of Jesus saw it, they thought to themselves, I wish I could have that in my own life. They say, Lord, teach us this. And he says, you want to learn this? Well, here's what you need to know. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Well, God given us this prayer, God given us the particular order to this prayer, that leads us to consider there's going to be a right ordering to even our prayer lives. God puts hallow, or God puts praise in the second line of the prayer, not the last. What this leads us to consider is that everything else he teaches, it comes second to this. Us needing our daily bread, it comes only after we're sure that God's name is hallowed in all the earth and especially in our lives. Us needing forgiveness and reconciliation, it comes second to asking for God's name to be hallowed. Us needing to be delivered from our trials and our temptations and evil, it comes second to us asking that God would hallow his name in our lives and our situations. Jesus is teaching us this. There is something about the order that changes everything else we pray. And can we be honest about this? I think one of the reasons we get so jammed up in our prayer lives is that we go asking for things for us without taking the time to praise God first. Jesus says, "Hallowed be thy name," and then he gets to everything else. Jesus would teach later in this chapter in verse 33, Matthew 6, 33, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the other things will get added to you." No, for Jesus, there is a seeking God first. There is putting first things first. There's hallowing God's name first, and then and only then worrying about our individual practical needs that are important, but according to Jesus, they're not as important as this. Maybe we get frustrated. Maybe there's someone in here today, you are very personally frustrated with prayer. Could it be, my friend, that your point of frustration is that you have failed to pray for the right things in the right way? Could it be an issue of order? Could it be that we rush into God's presence, naming our offenses and naming our needs, instead of coming into God's presence, saying, "God, hallowed be your name. And God, let me spend some time adoring you and praising you and clapping to you and cheering to you and singing to you and praising you for the specific ways that you have made all the difference in my life." It would appear then from this teaching that Jesus intends for that to be the first wave that we go through before we get into explaining the specifics of what we need. I think this is because praising actually heals something inside of us. When we remember what God has done for us, it helps us believe afresh for what God can do. When we come to God and we remember how God has let us off the hook of our great offenses that we have caused against Him, it helps us let other people off the hook for the individual ways they've offended us. When we come to God and we recount the specific ways we had trials, we had needs, and God showed up and He was enough, it helps us believe again to be able to pray for daily bread and forgiveness afresh. Praise comes before asking for forgiveness. Some of us, we'll consider this in just a few weeks' time. Some of us, like we say, I used to say this. We say, "Well, I know God forgives me, but I just can't forgive who? Myself." But sometimes it's because we're just going straight to forgiveness without taking some time to praise God for what He's already forgiven, haven't we? We don't pray the right things the right way. When we don't hallow God's name above every name, sometimes we hallow our own name. And hallowing our own name, walking into the presence of God, thinking a little too much about ourselves, thinking a little too highly about ourselves, then we look at God and we say, "Look, I know you've forgiven this and you've forgiven that, but God, I just can't forgive me." Maybe if we walked into God's presence, not thinking so much about me, but thinking so much about Him and who He is and what He's done, then we could actually get over ourselves and allow Him to forgive ourselves. It's why we're so full of guilt and shame. It's why we struggle to forgive other people, because we don't properly praise. So think about it with me. Do you carry a bitter spirit? If you would praise the sweetness of the Spirit of God's character, you might find that spirit of bitterness in you turning sweet over time. Do you have a condemning heart? Are you someone that is walking around in your heart condemning people? "I can't believe she said that. I can't believe he's doing that. I can't believe they thought that." If you would go into the presence of God and if you would spend some time praising Him for all the ways that He did not condemn you, but condemned Jesus in your place, the condemning heart might start to melt away, because praising can heal you. Do you have a hurt heart? Do you spend time first going to God, laying that hurt heart before Him, asking Him to give you a healed heart, and over time, as He heals your heart, you might have a healed heart that then you can share with other people as well. This also matters immensely. Our hallowing, it does tell us an important thing about our hearts. It tells us about our desire for joy. Deep down inside of each and every one of us, my friend, deep down inside of me and deep down inside of you as well, we all want to be happy. We all want someone to thrill us. We all want the story of being overtaken by someone who is bigger than us, stronger than us, smarter than us, bringing us up into their program, taking us up into their campaign, taking us on this massive adventure of healing and changing the world. We all aspire to be thrilled like that. And our Halloween reveals to us, we are oftentimes so content to have little half-hearted versions of the ultimate thing. To hallow God's name is not merely to live righteous lives, but to live lives of grateful joy and grateful praise to God. We hear God saying, praise thy name, praise my name, hallowed be thy name. And sometimes we get so confused in this, we just sit here and we think, I don't know, like if this is really the track we're on, I don't know if I want it. Isn't there something like a little device that the devil tries to plant against us? Where some of us, we start to think to ourselves, I don't know if I want to go to heaven. I don't know if I want to go to heaven. If we're just going to sit around and be with God and God's going to constantly need to be topped up with our compliments all the time, I don't know if I want it. But it has to do with this issue of joy. And it has to do with deep down in our hearts, our joy is never full until it is expressed. Let me explain it to you. When you eat a really good meal, that good meal isn't everything it could be until you praise for it and you're not bored about it. When you read a really good book, my wife's reading this amazing book right now, and every time she puts the book down, she gives me a detail about it. When you read a really good book, you praise it to someone else, and what does that do? That actually completes the experience of the book that you're having. When you hit, I don't know why I'm using so much tennis in here. This is for somebody in here. If you hit a really good forehand, right? You hit a really great 7-iron, and that feeling of needing to tell somebody about it, and all of us are just sitting around with smiles on our faces saying, I could care less about your forehand, you know? When you hit a really great shot, that experience of praising the event, it completes the experience of it all. And what God is saying to us and what God is inviting us into, real praise participates in the beautifying of a thing. What God is inviting us to is knowing God and loving God and living in a relationship with God. That experience will never be complete until we have a praising joy in it in the end. Our joy is only complete in Him. All those other things that we chase after, all those more lightweight hallows that we hallow, they are a shadow of the real. We are invited to pray, hallowed be thy name, the name of God. Think about Him. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, He was asked, who are you? And He says, I am who I am. And we are told to praise that name. It was Exodus chapter 33, verse 19. God says, I will proclaim before you my name, and here's the name. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. This I am that was taken up by Jesus onto Himself, where He identifies with God as God. And we are told to praise the name of God. The name of God is the sum of all His attributes. The name of God is the sum of all His works. That's why when the psalmist exalted God above all things in Psalm 138, verse 2, we're so often told to think of God as speaking for His own name's sake. Psalm chapter 25, verse 11. And when we think about the hallowing that we do, the different people we clap for, the different experiences we build our lives around, it actually reveals to us sometimes, maybe oftentimes, we don't hallow God first and most. So then we're left wondering how to hallow God's name. The discerning listener might be listening in on this and starting to push back just a little bit. You might be thinking, well, this is available in all different sorts of other religions. Eastern Buddhist meditation might get me close to this. Maybe I can just hallow, maybe I can just think about the right thing without having to yield to God. Eastern Buddhist meditation spend lots of ways to praise and hallow without having to connect. Marcus Aurelius, the one who's known for popularizing Stoicism for us, he says everything that we care about will ultimately be withdrawn for us, so the way to make your way through life is through detachment. And Christians might hear this, and we could say, yes, you're onto something, but you don't go far enough. Christians could come along with this and we could agree. We could say, yes, you can attach yourself too much to things. You can hallow the wrong things the wrong ways. But to totally withdraw, to totally detach, to totally let go, it doesn't make you more loving, more kind, more tuned in. It actually makes you less loving, less kind, and more cynical in the end. The answer is not being less detached. The answer is being more attached to the right things the right way. And Jesus teaches us, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. This is the request that shapes every request to follow in the Lord's Prayer. We pray this first and we pray this most because it supersedes every supplication that's going to follow. We don't pray about our silly little empires. We pray about God's name, God's power, and God's kingdom. Is there anything more countercultural than this? To seek God first and God most? And Jesus says, if you start with God's praise, as you praise God, God's praise will heal you, and you'll be able to move through the rest of this prayer, and you'll be able to move through this world as well. Hallowed be thy name. And to pray this prayer is to ask that God would do a miracle in our hearts. It's asking that God would take us who are concerned with self, we're concerned with our names and our preferences and our kingdoms and our empires, and we're asking God to make the focus of our lives his name, his kingdom, and his empire. And this is difficult to pray because our story, our sin, and our sadness, it makes it hard to feel the love of God. It is hard for some of us to sit down and to spend 5 minutes or 15 minutes praying and giving thanks to God for his love alone. And the fact of the matter is, our own difficulties, our own broken hearts, our own dashed dreams, our own moments of sorrow, it makes us difficult to come to God and to be thankful to God. And the only thing that can ever help our hearts is to remember the gospel again. We don't detach, we don't pull away, but we plunge our sad hearts, we plunge our sad stories, we plunge our sad experiences into the depths of God's love. My friend, remember, Jesus Christ lived for you and Jesus Christ died for you. Some of us walk around thinking, I can never forgive myself because we have done things wrong. We have made mistakes. We have been to places we shouldn't go. We have said things we shouldn't have said. We have committed actions we never should have committed. We can never forgive ourselves. We can never get over ourselves and get past ourselves. It is only through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave that we can be forgiven. So how do we help our prayers? And how do we become a people who can pray this prayer? We have to plunge the loss of family, plunge the loss of friends, plunge the loss of fame and empire and fortune into the deep, deep, deep love of God. And we remember everything that we ultimately desire to praise is but a shadow of him who is the real. Jesus is the source for every strength. Jesus is the solution for every problem. So where have you missed out on being able to hallow the name of God? Where have you missed out on being able to praise God for who he is? Everyone has a story. Everyone has a sorrow. Everyone has a sadness of experience that can only be healed by plunging it beneath the love of Jesus. Jesus, the one who gave us this prayer, he doesn't want us to settle at the level of abstraction. He wants us to apply this prayer to every nook and facet and corner and cranny of our hearts so we can pray it together. So shall we pray it together? This is the prayer for us. We'll pray this as our conclusion, and then I'll pray further beyond. Let's pray this prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we pray, hallowed be thy name. Father, would you, who are unimaginably large and great, would you become great to us in our everyday experiences of you? Father, we as a church, we pray together, hallowed be your name in all the earth. Father, we pray for those parts of this world where people don't know you. Father, would you please make your name great in those parts of the world? But Father, we don't pray a prayer without applying it to ourselves. Father, we pray, hallowed be thy name. And we pray that hallowing would begin in each and every one of us. So Father, show yourself to be great in our lives, in our families, in our connect groups, in our friend groups, in this church, and in this city. And we pray the ends of the earth would never be the same for it. And we ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen.